Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable for July, or really for E3 2019. That's going to be most of our discussion for this roundtable. Of course, I'm Tommy. Jamie's sitting over there. How you doing, man?
What is going on? We're still alive!
And we're still going with E3 stuff a month later. Yeah. Still got E3. And we're joined by Cabbage. Hey, Cabbage.
Hey, what's up?
And right now it's just the three of us, and we're going to have a good time and see if anybody else pops in. And so, but as I said, we're going to focus on E3 2019, because it's the first roundtable we've done since E3 has happened. And I know Cabbage has opinions. Neither one of you two know this yet, so let me make sure y'all know this. There's actually going to be a piece of content that goes up on the feed before the roundtable goes up on the feed that includes Cabbage's a couple of voicemails to preface our conversation here, to give that some context. Everybody that's listening, if you haven't heard those, go back to listen to that little bonus episode that you got in your feed of Cabbage talking about some thoughts of E3, which I think is probably a good place to start, because I know Cabbage has opinions here. So, and we have opinions here, and those opinions differ, and so it'll be a fun time. So, Cabbage, let me ask you, what was your game of the show?
Well, yeah, so people are going to hear those and hear my little... It's a little bit, like, hyperbole in terms of, like, claiming that it is the game of the show. Of course not, but, like, personally, the one I am the most excited about, I know it's silly, but because it's coming fairly soon and it's like a childhood wish fulfillment thing, is the Dragon Ball Z Kakarot game.
Very nice.
That's the one I'm the most excited about. Now, of course, it's probably not going to be as good as some of these other games. It's not going to be Cyberpunk. I mean, heck, even the Star Wars game might be better, even though I kind of doubt it. But it's just the one I'm most excited about, because, again, people are probably going to hear that. I have ridiculous thoughts on it. I mean, it is a wish fulfillment thing. It's an open world Dragon Ball game. You get to fly around, play through the whole story. At least up to the Frieza saga, the Namek saga. I'm assuming they're just going to keep going. I'm sure this game will make money, and they'll probably go through the whole story. And just, that's something I never thought would actually be made. Usually with Dragon Ball, we get these, you know, fighting games, these sort of side-scrolling fighting games or whatever, and they'll have, like, little cutscenes, but you're not really playing through the story, and it's not really what I would want. And this is, like, what I have always wanted. So that's the one I'm most excited about. But obviously, besides that, I mean, the one I'm most excited about is Cyberpunk, which I guess is coming in, was it April? When is it coming out?
Yeah, April.
Yeah, it's April.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah,
day after my birthday, the 16th.
There you go.
So that's a game that, you know, that's the game you'd, like, buy a new video card for, kind of thing. Like, that's, it does, I mean, yeah, the new little video we got wasn't amazing or anything. It didn't really show a lot that was new, but it's just because of what we know about it. You know, I'm still just as excited, and because we actually now have a release date, we know it's coming out then. Definitely really looking forward to that. There's other games, but maybe we'll get into that.
Yeah. So let me ask you a couple of things on those two titles, starting with Dragon Ball. So I was into Dragon Ball some when I was younger, but I feel like I was just a little bit too old, because you've got a few years on us. And so, like, I feel like if I were, like, 5 years younger, then I would have been, like, right smack in the middle of Dragon Ball world. But I was kind of on the front end of it. And so it didn't stick with me. It wasn't part of my childhood. It was like when I was in high school and college. And so I kind of grew out of it, I guess, quicker. Yeah. So all that said, do you see, as someone who loves this world and this franchise, obviously, somebody like me who knows enough about the world, or some about the world, but it hasn't been a massive fan of it for 20 years now or whatever, being able to get into a game like this, do you, as a person who can see it through the lens of a fan, see enough here for somebody that maybe hasn't been as in it being able to pick this up? Or do you think this is really going to be for the diehards?
I mean, it's, I guess it depends on, I mean, if you've, I don't know if you've watched the gameplay, but, you know, it's fairly traditional, like current standards for open world games. The flying mechanic in it looks pretty cool. I mean, the only other game besides this game that's coming out that has done flying in that kind of an environment, is Anthem. So it's, that's kind of unique. There's not a lot of games where you can just, you know, as a dude, just jump up in the air and fly around. So, I mean, so that's a,
sort of, but
well, yeah. But I not really like an open world RPG, but yeah.
I know because I just tried it for the show and it's really cool and I'm really upset about the fact that my hands don't work. It's really cool. But yeah, there's not a lot of that, and I would like to hate on you and tell you that you're fired, but I know nothing about that world. About Dragon Ball.
And if you watch like the gameplay, there's a combat section that to me it reminds me of stuff like, I don't know if you ever played Zone of the Enders, which was
yes.
like a PS2 game.
Yes.
You know, very, very, you know, fast paced, you know, sort of single target, dodging their attacks and going up and slashing them and dodging away. And you're like, that's kind of what the combat looks like. It looks pretty fast paced. It looks fairly skill based. Maybe the game is obviously going to bank on nostalgia a lot. And for me, that's basically what it is. Every now and then there's something that comes around like the Final Fantasy VII remake, which we're probably talking about too.
Yep.
You know, that is mostly like if I had never played the original and I saw Final Fantasy VII remake coming out, I might be kind of interested in it, but I'm really interested in it just because it's this retelling of this thing that I liked when I was a kid. That's what it is. So, how much is that Dragon Ball game going to appeal to other people? It's only going to do it as far as the mechanics or whatever appeal to, you know, individual people that just like that stuff. Because the story in it is not going to necessarily be that great. I'm not going to tell you the story in Dragon Ball is great. I just grew up with it. I'm familiar with the characters and the storyline and stuff. So to me, it's like fun, but I'm not going to say it's great or captivating. So probably wouldn't get you.
I was just going to say you made a really good point there in that I work with a lot of people that have never experienced the Final Fantasy VII remake the way that we did, the way that you did. I work with a lot of people that never played the original, or they played it, but they didn't put 120 hours in it. They didn't finish it. They didn't do any of that. And so they see something like the Final Fantasy VII remake, and they're like, I don't really care. And they're flipping out about this Dragon Ball thing. And, like, I would, like, I'm looking at it going, really? Really?
You basically just have to be into it. I mean, it's just what it is. I mean, I'm not, again, like I said, I'm not going to claim that the game as its own product is, like, you know, outstanding or anything. Because I'm sure it'll come out and be, like, it looks like it plays well. Like, I can at least say that. It looks like it's a fairly well-made game, but it's just copying elements from other games and just putting it over a, you know, over the Dragon Ball lore and characters and stuff. And for me, that's all I want. Like, I don't need it to be some groundbreaking game. I just want it to be a really fun game that does all the stuff I've always wanted to be able to do in that world and all that. So,
yeah, I will say the visuals look really cool for it. Like,
yeah,
I feel like three-dimensional anime games always feel weird, like nobody's quite figured out how to do that. This one feels maybe as close as I've seen one that, like, it seems to me at least pretty reminiscent of what, like, Dragon Ball World feels like. Again, as somebody that's not a big fan of the series, but has watched at least some, like, it feels true to form.
Yeah, I think it does. I will say, so So it's almost the wish fulfillment game, because it's not going to have everything I want. And here's why. I'm pretty sure, although I guess I haven't seen it confirmed, but, like, every time a game has been made the American voice actors always end up doing voices. And I grew up with the American version of the show. And I know there's a lot of people that grew up with the show that they either don't like any of the American stuff or they're good with the American voice actors, but for some reason they don't like the music, even though the music is like totally badass and perfect. Like it's a score. Like, okay, if you watch a movie and you're listening to the music and the music is they've scored the film, meaning the scene, the music is fitting the scene. I don't really need to explain this. Everybody who watched movies understands what I mean. But for me, when I watched the Japanese version of Dragon Ball Z with the original music, it doesn't sound like they scored it. It sounds like they just pulled generic music from like Godzilla or something. I don't know what that music is. It's bad. I can put up with Japanese voices because I watch a lot of anime, and actually usually the American dubs are terrible. But with Dragon Ball Z, it's an exception because I think the voice actors created, in my mind, what those characters are. Like, their voices make those characters. And so I'm sure this game will at least have the American voice actors coming and doing it. But I can guarantee you, because they've never, ever done it, they will never put that American Dragon Ball Z music in this video game. If they did that, and I'm telling you, I know it's terrible to admit this, but they could literally sell it to me as a DLC and I would buy it. If I could just replace whatever music, and maybe the music they make for it will be good, but it's not going to, I want to fly around in that world with that original music from the American Cartoon Network era aired, you know, Dragon Ball Z version. Like, if I could do that, then it would absolutely be just like top tier, 100% like wish fulfillment thing. It's silly, but that's like my biggest caveat with the game right now is like, it's not going to be absolutely perfect. It's like almost there.
Another great point right there is that I never really think about the voice actors, but just thinking about to when I was growing up, and Tommy's enough younger that he might not remember, but when I was growing up, the Transformer cartoon was a big deal.
Yeah.
And those voices on that cartoon, like the voice of Optimus Prime, that's the voice. It's that voice. And they basically got that guy for all the Michael Bay movies. It's not exactly that guy, but it's close enough. And so you're right. Voice acting makes a huge, huge difference.
And that's why when you... So I know you guys were talking about the Final Fantasy VII remake, and you're like, oh, no, they have voice actors. They're like nothing like I, you know, kind of had in my head. And yeah, I agree. But for me, when I play that game, I'm immediately, and they always give you the option, so I'm sure I'll have it. I'm immediately switching to Japanese voice actors, and I'm immediately just turning on subtitles because the American voice acting ranges from, you know, that doesn't really work for me to that's really bad.
Yeah,
and that's how it always is with, ever since Final Fantasy started doing voices, it's always been that way for me. I've always ended up just switching the voices because I'm so used to watching anime and just hearing Japanese voices anyway, I'd just rather do that. And in fact, it usually does fit better. So it is a fair complaint because you'd rather just be able to watch it and not have to do subtitles. You'd rather have good voice acting. And it's funny because the Kingdom Hearts game, probably just because of the fact they usually get the Disney voice actors, those always have decent voice acting, mostly. There's exceptions, but with the Final Fantasy stuff, they just never seem to hire people that really fit. You know, like the guy they got for Cloud is like really weird. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's hard to do. Maybe just nobody would satisfy everybody's like expectations, but just doesn't fit for him.
Yeah.
It's just
I think that's the thing. We'll get into Final Fantasy VII more here in a second. But I think that's the thing with Cloud is that he doesn't have a voice. You know, like for all of us that played that game, like there's no voice that I could put with him that I think would make sense. So.
You know what? It totally wouldn't make sense. What would make me laugh is if somebody got David Hayter out of the closet and made David Hayter Cloud. It would still be bad. But I would listen.
But it would at least be funny.
Yeah, yes. It would be funny.
Still do not, for life, me understand why he didn't do Metal Gear 5.
Yeah,
I don't. I mean, what's his name? Like he didn't fit there for me. Same story. Like just didn't fit to see Snake. And I know it's technically a different. It's like Big Boss or whatever, but it should still have his voice.
Well, if
David Hayter has done the voice before for Big Boss,
right? Yeah.
So yeah.
And look, I. I love Kiefer Sutherland. I love.
Oh yes, it was
24. I love 24 is one of my favorite shows ever. But it's weird to play Metal Gear 5 and to hear Snake speak and it be Jack Bauer. It just is. I love Jack Bauer, but he doesn't fit in Metal Gear world.
Yeah.
No.
And that's going to why Kingdom Hearts works, is those characters have a voice that you expect when they don't have that voice.
Although it is, I will say, actually, can we pause for like literally like 15 seconds? I just need you to go turn on the oven.
Yep.
Have it ready.
We're definitely not going to pause. This is staying in.
Yeah! No editing, baby! That's what we do!
Multitasking cabbage here.
I love it! She's like, we're on the air, but I gotta worry about my dinner. I'll be right back!
Okay. Sorry.
True gaming, I mean, it's
you gotta have it ready, man. Anyway, so we were talking about Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
So, I will say, because I did play Kingdom Hearts 3 a little bit. I actually fell off of it really quick. We don't need to get too into that if we don't want to, but I'm just going to mention, because you're saying a lot of the, you know, we have these established people that they need to bring back. And that game, there's a Toy Story world, which was fun to play through, but it was painfully obvious that they did not get Tom Hanks, and I don't think they got... dang it, what's his name? Who plays
Tim
Buzz?
Tim Allen.
Yeah.
There we go.
The guy who was trying to be him was decent. The guy who was trying to be Tom Hanks was, I don't know what happened there. I feel like they could have got somebody else. So it's always a gamble with a game where they need so many of these actors that they probably either can't afford or don't have the time to book and record or whatever. So, yeah.
That's fair. Let me ask you one thing about Cyberpunk, as the other game you mentioned there, and then we'll get into Final Fantasy. So going back to the fall, whenever we got the Cyberpunk gameplay footage and talked about that on the roundtable, one of the things I remember you saying specifically, Cabbage, was that you were worried about not finding, don't let me put words in your mouth, so correct me if I'm wrong here, but how I remember is essentially not finding redeeming value in the player character. Are you still there, or do you feel any different about that now?
Yeah. No, I mean, that new thing we saw was, I don't know, from what I remember, kind of more of that, right? I mean, you just kind of feel like a guy who's just sort of out to help himself. He's just kind of a shitty person in a shitty world. I don't know. It's, yeah, I still have that worry, and I've honestly gotten to the point where it's like, I know I'm going to play the game. The gameplay will probably be great. I'm definitely going to spend some time in there. But I'm just being prepared to just sort of tune the story out in the way that you would like a Far Cry, where the story is, you know, randomly sort of cool and how it's presented. But I've never really gotten into the story itself or the characters in a Far Cry game. I think
because
it's going to.
There's not one.
Because there's not really a story. Yeah. And I think obviously it's not going to be to that extent of like the quality of the storytelling and stuff is obviously going to be way better than a Far Cry. But I'm just worried that I'm not going to be able to care a lot, because I just worry that the game is just going to be too focused on the aesthetic it's going for and the feel, which is just like very, it's like very stark future, very, very sort of like nihilistic sort of. And then there's a lot of commentary that's going on with that. I understand. And it's not like I won't get any enjoyment out of it. But at some point, if you're playing for hours and hours and you're just sort of like this, you know, the sort of agent of chaos, like personally for me, I just kind of find that stuff a little bit lame. And so I probably just end up at some point either skipping cutscenes or just sort of being like, eh, whatever, what's this guy saying? What do I need to know for the next thing? And then just kind of have fun with the gameplay and not like actually try to care too much. That might happen or maybe not. We'll see what happens.
See, I hear what you're saying, but I think, and I'm not going to speak for Tommy. Tommy, you can jump in here whenever you want. But as far as a cyber world, you spent 15 minutes talking about Dragon Ball Z. I'm going to tell you right now, I want to play Blade Runner and Neuromancer. I've always wanted to play those worlds, right? So in that same vein, like, I don't care what the main, like, the main character could be the most morally reprehensible person ever. And you know me and Tommy are nice guys, and it makes us cringe when we have to do something evil. In this case, I don't care. Because whatever is going on in that world, I just want to live in it.
And yeah, I think that'll be most people. It probably will end up basically being me, too. It's just, for me, it's like, you know, I'm looking at this as CD Projekt Red. I was excited for their new game. And, you know, biggest reason why is because of The Witcher 3 having the story and the world that it does. And for me, it's like just a little bit like, oh, I know I'm not going to enjoy this as much inherently because just because of how it's been presented. Like, you know, in The Witcher, it's a kind of a dark world, too. But like you actually can't be a bad guy in that game, which is kind of funny. But that's because they have a character they're trying to tell a story with. Like, you can make some sort of weird decisions, but for the most part, you kind of have to be a good guy. But that's what's kind of fun, is like being the Witcher. Like, the Witcher is a guy that's going out and he's trying to, like, whether you want to charge people more for it or not, which is sort of the, like, slightly morally gray area, but you're still going out, like, actually helping these little communities or whatever, like, even when you're just doing Witcher contracts. And I just like that stuff in games. I've just kind of become kind of cheesy with that sort of thing, I guess. So it's just in this new game, it just kind of looks like all you're kind of doing is just going around and, like, killing people and making money.
I hope that it ends up being kind of like The Witcher. I'm glad you brought that up because I think it's an interesting comparison. Because Geralt's not the paragon of morality by any means. And so it is doable to have this kind of character that is conflicted and difficult and whatever, and also being able to connect with and relate with and seeing, you know, this kind of ultimate good or whatever. I was thinking, I was like, it's kind of a chaotic good kind of approach to the world, you know, that you could definitely pull off. The so far V from Cyberpunk feels much more chaotic neutral kind of than anything else. We'll see how it lands, but I'm hopeful that they can at least give you as a player enough power to make that character redeeming or tell a story where that character is redeeming in and of itself. And so we'll see.
Well, and the thing, like I said, the thing about it is, if you hit it right on the head, anytime you do anything in this type of world, whether it is a novel or whether we're talking about Blade Runner or any of those type of things, none of the people in any of those worlds are the paragon of good. I mean, I think the best you're going to get is a chaotic good like Harrison Ford type character. And that's really all I'm expecting. So really good point there, because I don't think you're going to see John Shepard, Mass Effect, you know, paragon type guy. Right. That's not gonna happen, just because that's the way the world. I mean, can you name one Cyberpunk movie or book where there's a really good main character? I can't.
Well, and yeah, and I know we've talked about this before, and I can't remember what I've said or not said, but yeah, I'm not. I like nuanced characters. I like character arcs. I like a lot of stuff going on, but I just don't. What I worry about the game is that, so this is an open world RPG. They've really stressed that, you know, you can go into missions and you have a lot of options. But I feel like a lot of the options are just going to be around, like, do you want to complete the mission? And that stuff will be fun. You know, oh, do you want to be stealthy? Do you want to go and use these abilities? Do you want to go and learn something that might give you a different, you know, entrance into the build? All that stuff will be fun. But I kind of worry that the story will just not be, will not quite do that. And it's just because I haven't been really shown that yet. It's obviously possible with this developer, with how big the game clearly is going to be, that the story will be a lot more nuanced than that. I'm just worried that your character will not have the chance to be anything but just kind of like I mean, it's that kind of Ubisoft protagonist. Like, the Ubisoft protagonist is always just kind of like, yo, man, we're just going to go in and F shit up. And, you know, it's just, to me, very lame. Mm. It's just kind of like,
I love it. That right there, they need to get that voice for me. That is fantastic.
The prototypical UB protagonist is really bad. It's a good way to kind of frame it. I hope it's not that. You mentioned Far Cry in there, and I love Far Cry 3 as a game because the gameplay was so fun. Yeah. It's the worst protagonist I've ever played in. Like, I just hated that dude. Like, he's just the worst, you know? Like, there's,
and
just,
to me, the guy that they've sort of made the, because I know you do create your character in this, right? Isn't that the idea?
That's the idea, yeah.
But they've made this sort of model, like, generic guy that's going to be in the box art, and for like the special editions, if you want to pay all this money, you can get a statue of this weird, like, placeholder character. And I just don't really, and he's the most generic, like, bro, like, video game protagonist from the mid-2000s. Like, I just don't really get what it, and I understand that still the vast majority of people that are going to pay money for this game are probably 18 to 24 year old dudes. They're probably white. You know, I understand. It's like a business thing. It's just a little weird for a game that's supposed to be about play it your way, and they present that sort of imagery with the latest gameplay thing. It's just seemed kind of a weird thing for me. And it just sort of painted a picture of, like, oh, no, is the character that you basically end up playing as, is he just kind of like the way that this sort of placeholder guy would be? And, like, you know, it's just, it just got painted a picture of the story, just more things that I'm worried about. But the gameplay and the world, driving around in that car, exploring and stuff, that will all, I'm sure, be very captivating and great. I'm sure I will still really like the game. But again, for the thousandth time, I know most people do not agree, I might just end up kind of tuning the story out a bit. So
it's fair. I appreciate you sticking to your guns on stuff. let's talk Final Fantasy VII Remake now, because that was another one you brought up in your voicemail calls. And so just kind of general thoughts, and then let's talk combat, because I think that's the most contentious place between us. But general thoughts on Final Fantasy VII Remake briefly, because we just heard it. But just your ideas there.
Well, and I know that I'm going to agree with a lot of stuff you actually said in terms of, I know that we've known for a while that this is going to be a game that's split up into multiple parts, so I've just kind of been like, oh, you got to be ready for that. I was not expecting them to say, hey, the first part alone is only Midgar, and it's a $60 game.
Yeah.
Those details there are a little worrying. Because, first of all, I think you had said this, but, like, you want to find a balance between, oh, now we're in, you know, we're remaking this game so Midgar can be this full-size city as you imagined it and kind of see it in the sort of artwork and stuff. So you want it to feel like a big place that you could explore and have some side quests. And sure, maybe we would spend more time there than we do in the original game. But honestly, in the original game, you do spend quite a lot of time there. I would be fine with spending just about the same amount of time in Midgar, because that's a big game. There's a lot of other stuff.
I mean, look, there was the original game, you spent the first, what, 15 hours in Midgar? 20?
Yeah, especially on your first playthrough. Yeah, you probably did.
I don't want to spend more time than that in Midgar.
Yeah, to me, I think I would have been okay with him saying, this first game is Midgar. It's a $30 part one. You know, it's a short experience because we've already been setting you up for that. And they also don't call it, I don't understand why they aren't marketing that as Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 1.
Yes.
They just call it Remake. And it's like, there's just details there that I'm worried about. I'm worried about how, you know, is this really going to be a $60 game? Because there's a couple things there. It's like, if I'm paying $60 for it, sure, I do kind of want to feel like I have at least a 40, 50-hour RPG that has at least as much content as, like, Final Fantasy 15, which I thought was a pretty good amount of content for the base game for a $60 game. But at the same time, it's like, this is only part one. Do I really want to spend 50, 60 hours in just Midgar? So what does that mean? are the next three or potentially four parts or what? What's it going to be? Like, how many parts are we going to get? Are they all going to be $60? How do we, it's all, the way they're handling that side of it, I'm not too fond of at all. Yes.
And I want to chase a rabbit here, which I know we've got about a half hour here, well, less than that now. But I don't know if you guys saw what's going on with Stadia, and trust me, I'll get back around to Final Fantasy in a second. But apparently, you pay for the service, and the games are $60. So you're paying full price for those also. In this case, with the Final Fantasy remake being what it is, and the first part being $60, it just feels like a money grab in the same way that the Stadia stuff looks like a money grab, and it ain't out yet. And you can't do that for a game that is this beloved.
Yeah. I'll say on the Stadia thing, they can't keep that model. Like, that's not viable.
Nobody will use that. Nobody.
No. You either change that model pretty quickly or it's not going to last long. And Microsoft will happily come in and swoop up, you know, any remnants of people that were excited about Stadia. Yeah, that's terrible. Can I take it a little bit different in the fear? I totally agree with everything there about it being a $60 part one feels really weird. But my other fear with that is that they're putting so much in. It feels like, I could be wrong about this, and they may be farther along on the rest of it as well, but it feels like they're putting so much in to this first part that they're talking about that's just Midgar or whatever. Like, I just don't know that they're going to keep it going. Like, this is just, I feel like it could easily fizzle out, that it could just be like this first one comes out and like Midgar is super cool and you get back in that world and you're like, yeah, that's really fun. And it's like 2 or 3 years later before, you know, like we get part two or part three or whatever.
Well,
and by the time you're wrapping up the game, like it's just going to feel old hat at that point. And like people aren't going to be into it. The developers aren't going to be into it. I feel like this could easily just kind of like wane to the point that it just never really finishes itself in a satisfying way.
Yeah. Well, I had a similar thought. I would say they actually have not really been working on this title like full time that long, because this is the same team that I believe, I could be wrong, pretty sure it's the same team that made Final Fantasy 15. And then I'm assuming it's the same team that made Kingdom Hearts 3. I know it's the same director. It might not have been exactly the same teams within Square Enix, but I just wonder if, like you said, they've been putting like kind of all their eggs in the part one basket. And I worry that the next part will not be ready for at least a year. And at that point, again, how many parts are we doing? Like, is this going to be a thing where 4 years from now we finally have the full remake released and people have spent like, you know, 200 something bucks on this whole thing? Like, why didn't you just make, I don't know why they couldn't just remake the game, make stuff like Midgar, you know, scale to where it feels the size that it kind of is implied in the original game. Yeah, but we don't need that much content in the city. We just need it to feel, you know, like the Witcher games have these cities that feel pretty big, and they definitely have a lot of side quests, but it's not like you go into every building. It's not like everything is something, you know, you can make it to where it feels, same with Red Dead or, like Red Dead, especially that big city that's like the coastal city or whatever. If Midgar kind of felt like that, I'd be fine with it. And then you could just make the rest of the game and do a similar thing where when you go to whatever the city is where you've read 13's like mountain thing or whatever, like just make it kind of in the scale that you would nowadays. Like you'd make a city in Final Fantasy 15 or whatever. Have some side quests, but I don't need it. I'm really just there to see the, you know, the story reimagined, the pretty graphics, you know, fly around in high wind, and they better have you fly around in high wind.
Yeah.
Listen, if they don't have you actually fly it, like, because you fly it in the original game, let me fly it as with current tech, fly around the world. We could have had that in at least two games, you know, but at this point, it's just like, there's a lot of questions on that side of it. They're not.
Well, and the other thing about it is I hate to bring up more news, but I don't know if you guys saw the Activision deal where they got deadlines and people aren't getting paid and the QA people are getting treated awfully. If you're going to do something like this, because I know what they're thinking and I know what everybody else that's trying to do something like this is thinking. They're looking at the MCU universe and going, well, it worked for them. Like, they released a movie every 3 years and it was fine. They wrapped up and everything was great. Well, yeah, but all those people got paid. And, you know, it was a huge undertaking. They all got paid. Everybody was well taken care of. You got to do that for these teams if something like this is going to happen, if you choose to go this way.
And, you know, the issue with trying to spread this out and milk it as much as it seems like they are is you're alienating kind of everybody, probably, because the original fans are like, well, this just seems like you're doing too much. I'd rather just buy the remake, have the $60 game or whatever, and, you know, have my nostalgia and play this new version of it. And then the new people that you're trying to get in say, hey, remember Final Fantasy VII you've always heard about? Well, now you can play the new version of it. It's like, but why? Those people aren't going to be prepared to pay like $60 times possible. I mean, if they're only doing Midgar for the first part at $60, I mean, how long is it going to take them? At least 4 games, maybe 5 games to do the whole thing? So it's like to get the new people to get into that, I don't think you're going to get a lot of people that way either. It was just a very odd, it was honestly a very Nintendo-like decision in its oddity of like, what are you doing? Like, why couldn't you just make this one game? So, whatever.
Fair enough.
There's that part.
Let's talk about the other part then, which is the combat element of it. So again, refresh us on your thoughts about the combat, and then we'll tell you why you're wrong.
It's obviously just a taste thing. Like, you know, we all grew up with the game essentially, but just because of the slight generational difference for me, I see the new version and it has, you know, this fun action, live action combat, which if you're going to remake the game, yeah, it would be kind of fun for a while to just see like the cool graphics with just the classic combat. But I would just start to feel like there's, I would start to feel like there's something missing there, because you went through all the effort to remake the game, to have a full world, to fully realize it, you know, beautiful graphics, fully voice acted, all that stuff. And then if you just keep the combat the same, that feels weird. You when you're playing the original game, a lot of it is imagination driven. You know, you're seeing these vistas and things, and the way you're seeing it in your head is totally different than what the game is. But now the game can be what you saw in your head. And when you're playing the game as a kid, your head, you're like, oh, I'm Cloud. I'm running around slashing all these dudes. You're not imagining that you're literally just running up and whacking him and then running back. Like, that's not fun. It can be strategic and interesting. But now, if we can have games like Horizon and all this with this insane combat that's like the stuff we used to dream about, now that we can do it in a game, I would want the combat to be, oh, I'm actually dodging, I'm actually blocking, I'm actually running up and positioning myself, you know, that kind of thing. And the fact that the game does offer this sort of like tactical options too, which they've kind of played with, you know, when you had like Final Fantasy 12 or 15 where you could pause and assign stuff to different characters or whatever. I like that it has both. Like, to me, I think it's fulfilling everything I would want it to do. That's the thing about it, is that I'm not really worried about the gameplay. I think the gameplay all looks great. I'm sure the game will mostly play great. It's just the worries are with how they're spreading it out and charging for it and crap. So
Tommy, hang with me for a second here. I'm gonna go somewhere that I know you will get. But one of the big selling points of Final Fantasy VII for me was the summons, the different things that you had going on. I don't remember exactly what they were called. But you had Shiva and you had several other ones. and I may be the only person left on the planet, but those never got old, especially as they leveled up and you just started wrecking people every time you summon them. Those never got old to me. And so a lot of what you're saying about you have to make it look cool, I think you can make it look cool with, because I don't see it as if they did turn-based. It would just be you doing whatever attack you choose, running up, whacking the guy, and then running back. I don't see it that way. I think they could make it stylistically. I think they could make everything that you do extraordinarily cool. But
Persona 5
want
does
it
very stylized, like turn-based. Yeah, it's not that you can't make it look visually cool. I guess that's what I meant.
And so my thing is, like, I feel like you can do everything that you're talking about in a turn-based type system. What I don't like is I think it's going to be a whole lot of action battle system and very little turn-based. And immediately, I'm out. Same deal with Titanfall that I was just talking about. I haven't even started. And I know I'm not fast enough to play Titanfall the way it's intended to be played. So that's a cripple problem. And I understand that. But again, it goes back to this nostalgia thing that we've been talking about. That's what it was. And I don't want it to be exactly like what it was, but I want it to be pretty similar.
Yeah. Let me, I'll add in a few thoughts on that. I generally agree there. But to expand on that a little bit more, if they make a really compelling combat system, I could see being into it. I fear they won't. I don't foresee Final Fantasy VII having this deep combat system. I feel like it's going to be a lot of button mashing and then going into menus. And so it's going to be like mash, mash, mash until you get the bar full so you can open up the menu and do your spells or summons or whatever. And it's not terrible. And like, let me be clear, everybody that I read from at E3 that actually hands-on played the game said they loved how it played. And so apparently they figured out something that works. And so we'll see. But this is, to me, one of the things I'm most sad about this new combat system for, is that it feels like you're just going to really play as one character, like, for most of the combat, at least. Of course, Final Fantasy VII was a game that Cloud was the central character, but all these other characters that were part of it were great. And one of the reasons for that is, in a turn-based RPG, you spend equal time with all of these characters, essentially, in combat. You get to know what their approach to combat is, you know, fairly equally, depending on who you have in your party and that kind of stuff. So you still get some choice on that. But just watching that scene with that they showed at E3 with Cloud and Barrett in the boss fight, and that it was just like Cloud running, slashing, running, slashing, running, slashing, and then, like, here's a command for Barrett to do in the background, and he does it, and you're like, oh, cool, he did. So. But that you don't get to, like, have that experience of also being that character and then also being Ares and also being Red 13, you know, like,
yeah.
I feel like that's the part I'm really going to miss from a more action-based system, is that my connection with these characters isn't going to be developed nearly as much, because they're going to feel like side characters, going to feel like companions in combat, which they never felt that way in the original title.
Barrett was my second guy. Like, if I really wanted to wreck something, like, I go Cloud and go Barrett, and then whoever else was there was a support character and was, you know, passing out Phoenix Downs or whatever. But to me, Barrett was, for doing damage, Barrett was the second guy. And on what he's saying, I don't have that same sort of interaction, that's a lot that's missing.
Yeah, no, I can, because I guess they didn't really, have they said that you can't switch to other characters in combat? I can't
remember. I think you can. I think you're, it's totally possible to switch to another character in combat. The way I understood the combat system, at least, was you can switch back and forth. But yet still, whenever you switch, the other character is automated, is doing stuff. They, even maybe if you set up as, like, you know, the whatever they call it, the tactics or the formulas for them or whatever, that they're doing what you're telling them to do, they're still doing that in real time to the side of what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, and I will say, yeah, the one of the things I didn't like about 15 was the fact that, because it, you know, 12, which is a game that I actually did really like, I liked the combat system in a lot. It was actually basically like Dragon Age Origins, and actually came out, I think, a bit before it.
Yep.
But it had that, this tactic system where you could go in and, like, and just program your teammates to do stuff depending on the situation, but you could switch over to them at any time. You could hit a button that paused it.
Yep.
And you could switch over to them. You know, maybe they were doing something in that moment, and you knew, oh, okay, man, because what's going on right now with this boss, I actually don't want you to do that. I can tell you're queuing that up. I'm just going to hit pause, go over to you, cancel it, and have you go stand over here and do something different. They didn't do that in 15. They got rid of it. And that was kind of annoying. And I was worried that that was going to happen with this game. I guess it's not what's happening, but I wonder how I wonder how far into 12 it's going in terms of, like, how much control you can have over, you know, Barrett or whoever you want to switch over to. I hope it's just kind of a copy of that one. Yeah, and I get some of the stuff you're saying, but I hope that they, in fact, do let you, like, actually control those other characters in combat, because, you know, I'm sure these battles could probably get fairly long, too, and if you have these other characters, and if you can only rely on whatever tactic system they have that you can sort of program them, I guess depending on how good it is, I wouldn't totally mind, but it's never going to be perfect. So sometimes you just want to micromanage each little person, as you always do in these games. So I do hope that you can actually move over and control them a lot. If you can't, yeah, that'll be a bummer. I mean, obviously, I would prefer to just be able to actually control the whole party. So we'll yeah. see.
I honestly hope not only do you have that ability, but I hope the game forces you to. Like, this is maybe a little bit counterintuitive, especially for, like, you should have choice in games to play it how you want to play it kind of thing. I really hope that, like, the game says, okay, in this fight, you've got to play as Barrett for this section, this fight, or whatever. Like, Cloud's incapacitated for this amount of time, like, so that you get that same kind of relationship building component of combat that the original had. That's one way that they could kind of still bring that in through a more action-based system. I don't know. It's going to be a fun game. I think we're all going to thoroughly enjoy it. I think collectively I can say this, one of our favorite games from our youth, one of our favorite games of all time. We obviously also have lots of expectations and desires to see it pulled off in a way that satisfies not only 30-whatever-year-old or 40-whatever-year-old us, but also 15-17-year-old us.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, and I know it's dumb nostalgia stuff, but obviously I'm all about that, but, like, if they don't have Chocobo racing and like breeding and stuff, it's that, especially if you're going to be spreading the games out all these different ones, like you gotta make it worth it. If you don't have that, it's going to suck.
If you don't
have the full golden saucer, like, part, like, totally realized,
absolutely,
you have to have that. Like, come on. And yes, you better have the summons. Like, why would you not do that? You have to have them.
And they have to be freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. And I spent on the chocobos, like you're talking about, I spent hours breeding to get that golden chocobo, the best one that you could get. I think it was a golden. I spent hours and a lot of money, and it was worth it. And so you have to have that. You have to have it.
Totally agree. Cabbage, any other final thoughts? Anything else you saw at E3 that piqued your interest?
Yeah, I guess there's lots of random stuff. I mean, obviously, you guys talked a lot about Outer Worlds? There's Outer Wilds, which is out now and is supposed to be good. No, Outer Worlds is the Obsidian-like Fallout in space.
Yeah.
So, definitely excited for that. I totally agree that Bethesda should just have Obsidian make all their games because Obsidian is a better developer. Sorry.
Fair.
But they are. They probably always have been, and they definitely are now. So they should just make they should just play Fallout 5, and then they should also just make Elder Scrolls 6. anyway.
I don't think you're going to get much argument from us.
And no. Then Baldur's Gate 3 is actually being made by Larian, who make the Divinity games.
Yeah.
And so I actually have never played any of the Baldur's Gate games. They were like, you know, awkward spacing whenever I started playing games or whatever. But I played Divinity 2. It's great. So I'm probably going to play Baldur's Gate 3. So that one's high up there. I want to be excited for Death Stranding, but I don't know what that I don't know what it is. I still don't really know what it is, but I'm probably going to play it because it's yep. Kojima. And I do want to say the Star Wars game, the more I think about it and the more I watch the gameplay, the more I'm just not that excited about it, which is really sad because, like, in theory, it should be great, but it just looks so janky. It just looks so just, and it might just not be ready. Maybe they showed it too soon, but it is coming out in November, so... I mean, hopefully it just
be pretty close.
The combat in theory sounds great. It sounds like the stuff that's right up my alley. Like it's kind of doing some Sekiro stuff with its, you know, you take out the enemy's posture and then you can do a death blow and there's a lot of dodging and things like that. But the enemies mostly look really dumb, except for like the one guy that actually melee attacks you. Like the enemies look throwaway and nothing. And I don't know, the environments look fine, but I just I want so much more from this game, but we never get Star Wars single player adventure games really. Like we've gotten them, but like the story driven, really well done Star Wars game that doesn't just feel like a cheap movie tie-in or something. Like we almost never get that, and we finally get one again, and to me it just looks okay. It does not blow me away at all. The main character looks boring. I don't know what it is, but every time he like turns off the lightsaber, I cringe. The animation of him turning the lightsaber off is so awkward and weird. The way he moves looks awkward and weird. Like it just there's a lot of stuff there that just doesn't look ready. And hopefully it's just that it wasn't ready and maybe they just showed it too soon. Maybe by November it'll be really polished. But overall, like, I'm going to play it because it's a like Star Wars game. You get to be a Jedi. Like, I'm going to at least try it, but I'm not as excited about it as I was hoping I'd be after the like full gameplay reveal. So
real quick on that, because I don't know what got into me and I just decided to open the EA vault. I went through today and looked on Origin to see exactly how many Star Wars games they already have. And, gentlemen, I cannot count them all. There's so much Star Wars crap.
And most of it's bad.
Has. Like, I didn't even realize. I did this a half hour before the show. I didn't know there was this many Star Wars games. I didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
Because none of them were good.
Yeah, there's only been a few.
And there's a very good chance that this could fall in that category. That, oh yeah, it's just another EA Star Wars game.
Yeah, it doesn't have that. I just kind of was hoping that it would have that God of War thing when you watch the gameplay and you're like, wow, you know, this is blowing me away. Like, this just feels like such a polished narrative thing, and it just kind of felt like, you know, Force Unleashed 3. That's kind of what it feels like. It
and
like
I, game, you know yeah. what? I love the Force Unleashed. I think those games are great. I really do. I like them. This, I don't even think is that.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be the best single-player Star Wars game outside of Knights.
And it might be. But
that's, again, the bar is not super high there. I also, though, agree with the player character stuff. Like, he's just not that compelling to me at this point. And I think that could be the most damaging thing for the game, honestly, is that he's just not a very interesting character. That could be the thing that sinks it more than me. But I think the gameplay is going to be fun. I think that part of it they're going to get right. I hope, at least. That may be just my wishful thinking. But I think it's going to be a solid, like, B title, you know, like it's going to be like a game that I enjoy playing that I'm like, that was a fun Star Wars experience. I hope they give me more like that, but I still also hope they give me more Knights, you know, like also still like continue to expand and play with this world more. Not only this, I hope we'll see what happens with that, but I think that's all fair. That's good stuff. So, I think we're done with E3 now.
Finally,
a month later. We'll see. It'll keep coming up, of course. We have more stuff coming. We're gonna get new Cyberpunk gameplay footage relatively soon, and so everything we've been talking about is going to come back. And as we mentioned, a bunch of these games are soon, like within months, so we're just going to be talking about the game soon. We'll be able to play them and talk about that stuff. So that's super exciting. Any other thoughts, Jamie, before we wrap up?
Well, on a complete off the rails, totally unrelated E3 note, Spider-Man's really good.
Yes.
Yes.
Really, really, really good.
Told you.
I'm so geeked out. It's not even funny. It makes me smile. They made me laugh out loud the last thing I watched. I sent Tommy a text and I said, I literally almost fell out of my chair. I was laughing so hard. Yeah. Because it was just, it's great. And you can say what you want about where E3 is going and what the situation is there, but I'm really happy with where games are right now.
Yeah, that's not going to stop. E3 itself really might fizzle away, but, you know.
Absolutely. We're in a golden age of gaming, and it's really nice. So hopefully that stays that way for a while. So thank you, Cabbage, for being here. As always, conversation was quite enjoyable. And so we will obviously be talking about all these things much more going forward. Quickly, go by the website, gamingunsensored.com. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can do that over there. Voicemail line at
509-GAME-210. And it works because Cabbage left us voicemail.
Yes, it's confirmed. So call us, leave us some voicemails, or send us a segment at gamingUncensored@gmail.com, or just send us thoughts there. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up on Twitter at PodcastGU. Fun stuff everywhere. So for now, we are done with E4. Finally, getting back to your regularly scheduled Gaming Uncensored content soonish. Who knows when there'll be another episode? It'll be soon. So we appreciate you guys a ton. For now, we are out.
Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.